Jesus said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Are you thankful for that this morning? Amen. God is good. We've got some special things planned today. As you can see, we'll have communion at the end of the service. But we'll try not to hold you too long. But the Lord laid this message on my heart. Wanted to begin a series on the family. And hopefully we will. But I was praying Monday and God just wouldn't let me get away from this message. So I know that someone needs to hear it. If it's not for you, file it away, because sooner or later you will need it. Amen. But if you got your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to read verses 7 through 10. If you're able, please stand to honor the reading of the Word of God. As we start reading here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Starting with verse 7, and it says, and this is Paul talking, he said, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Look at someone and say, his strength is perfect in weakness. And then Paul said, most gladly therefore will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I want to minister to you a message entitled Strength in Weakness. Strength in weakness. If you would bow your heads, stretch your hands this way. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, that we can't, but you can. And you've promised us in your word that if we would put our trust in you, that you would. And Lord, we just give this service to you today. Lord, have your will in your way. Lord, anoint me that I might preach your word and not mine. Lord, administer to the hearts and lives of every soul in this building. Lord, you know just what each one of us needs. You know just where we are. And you're able to do abundantly above all that we could even ask or think. Lord, so we pray that you would have your will and your way in this service this morning. We bind the enemy that would try to hinder, that would try to disrupt your word. Lord, and we just pray that you would give us ears to hear, hearts to receive. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Strength in weakness. And I want to read to you another scripture as I get started. Out of Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. And I like the New King James Version. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I want you to understand as I began this morning that we all face difficulties and trouble. Have you ever went through a season where you just feel like things are getting worse and worse and worse? Ever been there? Charlie Brown. I love Charlie Brown. I'm a fan. I like Peanuts, the comic strip. But Charlie Brown, one time he said, my team always loses. And with football season approaching, some of you Georgia fans maybe can relate. No, I'm just kidding. Us Georgia Tech fans can surely relate, right? But he said, my team always loses. And Charlie Brown had Lucy to encourage him. She walked up to Charlie Brown and she said, now, Charlie Brown, you got to understand that we learn more from our defeats than we do from our victories. And Charlie Brown looked at Lucy and he said, if we learn more from our defeats than we do our victories, then I must be one of the smartest guys around. Sometimes we feel like that, don't we? Sometimes it seems like in our lives that we're losing. And we need to understand that we do have an enemy that's out to destroy us. John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He said, but I come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I want you to understand, if you're a child of God, if we love God and we're called according to His purpose, Romans 8:28 tells us that all things are working together for our good. That means even when we think we're losing, We're still winning. Now, some of y'all don't look like you believe that. So let me say it again. That means that even sometimes when we feel like we're losing, we're still winning, because even when the situation that we may be going through may look hopeless, God is still working his plan in the midst of it. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In this world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Listen, as long as we're in the world, you're going to have tribulation. The only way to escape tribulation is to leave this world. Because as long as you are in this world, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to face trouble. You're going to face difficulty. You're going to face hardships. You're going to face trials. And there's going to be times that you're tried and your faith is tested. You're going to go through things as a child of God. Children of God get sick. Did you know that? Children of God face persecution. Children of God are betrayed. Children of God go through things. They face financial problems. They face problems in their marriages from time to time. They have relational issues. Sometimes they're rejected. Just because you're a child of God does not mean that you're going to be exempt from problems. In fact, a lot of times it means you're going to have problems. And the devil would like for us to think as children of God that when we're going through things that God has it in for us. You know, that God's up there with his magnifying glass and he's just picking on us. But I want you to understand that that's not the case. God loves us with an everlasting love. He loves us and he wants to reveal himself in us and through us. And we need to understand that and hang on to it. Listen to me, I'm going somewhere, so stay with me. But Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 9 says that there's nothing new under the sun. That means that everything that we've went through, you know, a lot of times when we go through things, we think that it's special. We're the only ones that's had to deal with this situation. But God's word tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 9, there's nothing new under the sun. You think it's just you, but no, there's other people that have went through this situation before. You're not the first and you won't be the last. You're going to have trouble in this world. God's not picking on you. It's a part of God's plan. We all go through trouble. And we all go through situations that are difficult that we don't understand. David in Psalm 55, he got to the place, one of his low points in his life. Someone close to him had betrayed him. He was surrounded by his enemies. And he looked there and he spoke to the Lord. And he said in verses 6 and 8, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove. For then I would fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. Selah, I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and the tempest." In other words, David said, "I just want to get away. I just want to escape my problem for just a little while." Anybody ever been there? Amen. I think if we're honest, all of us can say that. In 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 4, Elijah, faced with opposition, faced with problems, he got to the point in his life where he sat down under the juniper tree and he said in verse 4, he said, "It is enough, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my father." Elijah got to the place where he was facing difficulty and opposition, and he said, "You know what? Let me just go to heaven, because I'm a little bit tired of being down here." What's your point, Pastor? The point is that this idea that us as people of God are going to have a rosy life free of problems is baloney. And if you believe that, you are deceived. Because you're going to face trouble as a child of God. You've got an enemy out to destroy you. And Jesus has promised us that in this world we're going to have tribulation. We are going to have problems. Listen, it can't be all sunshine, because if it did, the flowers would die. The flowers got to have the storm and the rain. We've got to have the storms and the rain too. And I'm sure some of you will say, "Well, Pastor, I'd like just a little bit of sunshine right now. I'd be okay with that." And I'm sure we've all been there. And that's kind of where Paul was here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul was praying for some relief. He said, you know, I've got this thorn in my flesh. He called it a messenger from Satan sent to buffet him. And I don't know if you understand what that word buffet means. But that buffet means to attack or hit with force continually. It didn't relent. A constant battle, a constant attack from the enemy with force. And Paul said, I just want some relief. I just want it to stop, Lord. But God didn't do that for him. He said to him, he said, my grace is sufficient for you because my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And many times in our lives, God does his best work when our backs are up against the wall and we don't see a way out and we don't know what to do and we're tired and we come to the end of ourselves and we say, I can't do it no more, God. I can't take it. I don't have the ability. I don't know what to do. And then God says, good. Now you're ready for me to move. Because it's only when we come to the end of ourselves that we are a candidate for God to do his work in us and through us. As long as we think we got it together, God can't use us. It's only when we come to the end of ourselves and we say, I can't do it. I can't handle it. I don't know what to do, God. But you do. That's when God wants to use us. Listen, comfort is not our friend. I know we like comfort, don't we? But comfort's not your friend. In fact, God's priority is not our comfort. I've said that before. In fact, God wants us to be uncomfortable. You know what he said in Amos chapter 6, verse 1? He said, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Don't you get comfortable on me. He said, you better get up and get going. Because we need to be willing to move in our lives. And when we get comfortable, we sit down. When we think we can, and we try to do it our own way, and in our own intellect, and in our own knowledge, we lose the power of God and what he wants to do in us and through us. Because it's only when we get out of the way and let God move that he's able to move the way he wants to. God wants to minister in us and through us. And many times he does that in uncomfortable, difficult situations. Challenging times where we say, I can't do this anymore, God. And God shows up and does his best work then. It's in the midst of trouble and chaotic times that God will call out the conqueror within us. Listen to me. God wants to work in the midst of your trouble today. And you're not going to escape trouble. I don't care how far you want to run. You know, if God would have gave David those wings like a dove, he still would have faced trouble. You cannot escape it. It's unavoidable. You're going to have difficulty. You're going to have trying times. And it's up to us how we respond. Now, you can't control many times what happens to you. Now, sometimes you can. Sometimes we just make dumb decisions. And we suffer for it. And I can raise both hands and say I am probably more guilty than some of you in here of that. Because I have made some dumb decisions and I have suffered for it. And sometimes we do. And sometimes it's just a result of our dumb decisions. But there's many times we face trouble that we can't avoid. We have nothing to do with it. And there's going to be many times in our life when we're hit with things that we can't control. We can't do anything about it. But what we can control is how we react to it. What we can control is what we do with what we're faced with, what we do with the difficulties in our lives and how we respond to it. See, our difficulties, our trials, our troubles, they can either make us better or they can make us bitter. The choice is up to you and me. You know, I've heard it said that life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you react. And I believe it. I believe it. Because some of us allow our circumstances to pull us down to the point to where we, instead of drawing close to God, we pull away. And God said, when you're weak, that's when I can give you my strength. And that's when you're a candidate for me to move in a mighty way. But you've got to come to me. we can just react in the right way and give everything to God and trust Him, He can do His best work in our lives when we're going through the most difficult situations. I want you to think about something for a minute. What, some of us say, how many of us have prayed for a move of God in our lives? I want you to understand something. Sometimes the greatest move of God will come in your life through the most difficult circumstances. Some of the greatest moves of God. If you study God's Word, I challenge you to find a mighty move of God that wasn't born in the midst of adversity and trouble, because I can't find it. And sometimes when we pray for God to move, sometimes we don't understand that it's going to happen in the midst of trying and difficult circumstances. When the enemy is raging, when there's opposition, when we don't know what God is doing or why He's doing it. But God said, when you come to the end of yourself, then you let go of your situation, and I can do what only I can do. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. You ever heard the saying, I feel like pulling my hair out? Brother Tim said, been there, done that. Some of us may feel like that today. But you know, Ezra, the priest of Israel, he got to the place in the book of Ezra, chapter 9, verse 3, where it says, he literally sat down and started pulling his hair out. Some of you parents maybe can relate. Some of you leaders can probably relate. There are all times where we want to just sit down and pull our hair out. Listen, Ezra had gotten to the place. God had moved in Israel. They were in bondage because of their disobedience. And God had moved miraculously. Babylon had fallen. And through that, they had been allowed to go back into Israel, rebuild the temple, and begin to worship God again. And they started worshiping God again. And you know what they did? They went right back to doing what they were doing before, that got them to where they were before they got back to Israel. And the priest just sat down when he heard the news in the temple, and he just started pulling his hair out. Sometimes in our lives, we feel like pulling our hair out. What do you do when things aren't working out right in your life? What do you do when you're at your wit's end? What do you do when you're at the point of desperation? I'll tell you what you do. You remember where your strength comes from. That's what you do. You remember where your strength comes from. Because you can't, but He can. In Psalm 121 verses 1 and 2, the psalmist said, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Where does my help come from? He said, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Some of us need to get our eyes off of our problems. Some of us need to get our minds and our eyes away from what's going on around us and get focused on the problem solver rather than the problem. Because when we focus on what we don't understand, what we don't like, and when we look at our problems, rather than looking to the one who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can even ask or think, according to the Spirit of God that worketh in us. When we get to that point, rather than looking to Him, we look at our problems, we cancel out what God wants to do in our lives because we start operating in unbelief rather than faith. We got to look to the one who can do what we can't. John chapter 15 verses 4 and 5. You know what Jesus said? He said, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 9 tells us that we are laborers together with God. Listen, now I used to hold a microphone, and now I got this one. My daughter told me today. She said, try not to clap so much this time now that your hands are free. But I use this microphone now. And what this microphone does is it amplifies my voice. It gives power to my voice. And you say, well, his voice is pretty loud already. Well, it makes it even more powerful. But the microphone, what the sound system does is it takes what I have and it magnifies it and gives it power. And that's what the Lord wants to do with you and I. Because see, without us, He will not. And without Him, we cannot. God wants to take what you have and endue it with His power, magnify it, and use it for His glory. Our strategies, our methods, our resources, our intellect is not enough to do the work of God. We cannot without Him. We all got opinions and thoughts, and we all got our ideas of how things need to be, but can I tell you this? It don't matter. What's the good word? Something squat. That's what the country folks say. Diddly squat. Is that what they say? Yeah. It don't amount to diddly squat. That's a good old country term there. Your opinions and your ideas don't map to diddly squat. Because it's God. And where we end, He begins. And where our knowledge ends, His knowledge begins. And we need to operate under His anointing, under His power, and let Him lead and direct our path. It's not in us, it's in Him. Look, there's a good example in God's Word of what I'm trying to say to you this morning. In John chapter 6, there's a little boy. And he gives his lunch to the Lord. Just 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He was in a situation that was bigger than him. It was bigger than him. He couldn't solve it. He didn't have what it took to solve it. 5 loaves and 2 fishes was not enough to do what needed to be done. But you know what he did? He took what he had. And he surrendered it to God. He got out of the way. And he trusted God. He trusted the Lord to do what only the Lord could do. And that's what the Lord wants us to do today. He wants you to give Him what you got. Don't worry about what you don't have. Don't worry about what you're facing. Just give everything completely to Him. And get out of the way and trust Him to do what only He could do. And you know what? When that little boy did that, what the Lord did? He did an amazing work because he got out of the way. He gave God his best. He gave God what he had. And he got out of the way and trusted God. Amen. See, a lot of people say, one day I'm going to do this. And one day, look, I'm clapping. One day I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
Old habits die hard.
Right.
One day I'm going to do this and that. But let me tell you something. It's not what you do with $1 million. If $1 million was your lot, it's what you do with the dollar and quarter that you got. If you won't do it now, you won't do it then.
Right.
He that is faithful in little is faithful in much. Right. If you won't trust God with the little bit you got, you're not going to trust Him with the big stuff. And God is taking you through a situation sometimes because He's wanting you to trust Him and give Him what you got. Give Him the best you got. And get out of the way and trust Him to do what only He can do. That's what He was saying to Paul. He said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Where we in Christ begins. You know, Corrie ten Boone said this. She said, you'll never know God is all you need until God is all you have. God wants us to look to Him. Not to the preacher. Not to the church. Not to everyone. Not to our job. Not to our spouse. He wants to be your source. He wants to be your source. He wants you to look to Him. He said, I am that I am. Look to me. I'm your source. I want to be the one to strengthen you in your weakness. Don't look at everybody else. Don't look at this. Don't look there. Don't look there. Look. She was a young, beautiful 17-year-old girl, got up one day like every other day, went diving in the Chesapeake Bay and had a diving accident and was left paralyzed. She was a quadriplegic from that point on in her life. And she said, when life is rosy, we may slide by with knowing Jesus, with imitating him and quoting him and speaking of him, but only in suffering will we truly know Jesus. We learn things about God in suffering that we don't learn any other way. Let me tell you something. The life that pleases God is usually painful and difficult. You hear me, church? If it wasn't, he wouldn't say, take up your cross and follow me. A cross is a painful instrument of death. And God brings us to a point of desperation in our lives many times because he wants to do something in us and through us. And he wants us to get to the place where we'll get out of the way and trust God to be and to do what only he can do. See, there's times that we go through in our life. Listen, you say, why don't we see the healings that we used to see? Now, you can have all the opinions that you want, but can Pastor share with you his opinion? I'm going to anyway. Amen. 200 years ago, they didn't have a pill for influenza. They didn't have a shot for influenza. You got influenza, either you got healed or you died. And sometimes we can look to the doctor to do something that God wants to do in our lives. Sometimes we look to God last rather than first. And sometimes we can put more stock in a doctor's report than we can in what God's Word says. Ouch, preacher, that hurts me too. Because if a doctor's report comes back and says everything's okay, we don't worry about it. Say, well, we'll wait a little while and see. No, most of us do a tap dance out the door. Woo-hoo! But we read God's Word and we say, well, we'll wait and see about that one. But see, when God is all you have, that's where his strength begins. When you say, well, I ain't got no doctor. If I don't get healed, I'm going to die. I need Jesus. When he's all you have, his strength can be made perfect in our weakness. Listen to me. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 and 28. You know what it says? For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and things which are despised God hath chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught those things that are. Many times God uses those people that the world says is of no value. Society's rejects. The ones that everybody looks at it and said, that one won't amount to nothing. And God says, that's the one I want. Because I want the world to understand that it's not them, it's me. Right. I used to listen to a guy preach. I enjoy hearing him. He was so funny. And he would get up and preach, and there was one time he quoted that scripture, and he said, look out now, I'm fixing to confound. But God takes us. When everybody else looks at us and they don't understand, maybe they feel like that we can't, and we can't, but he can if we'll just trust in him. We need to remember that God's always with us. See, we're not in this alone. And you need to understand that if you're going through a difficult time right now, you're not alone. If you're a child of God, you are not alone. God hasn't abandoned you. You know what Isaiah 41 and 10 says? God said this. He said, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Jesus promised us in Matthew 28, 20. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. In Hebrews 13 and 5, Paul reminds us, just in case we forget, he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. It doesn't matter. people think, the popular opinion of the day. What God says is what's important. And if we will trust Him, give Him the best we got. Amen. Don't worry about everybody else. Just give Him the best you got. Get out of the way and trust Him to do what only He can do. See, we struggle with getting out of the way. We want to control things. We want to drive the car. But if we want to see God work, we got to get in the passenger side and not be a passenger side driver and tell God what to do and how to do it, but trust Him. Hand over the steering wheel and say, I trust you, Lord. Where my strength ends, yours begins. And you know what Paul said about it? He said, you know what? I'm going to glory in my infirmities. Because when I am weak, He's strong. And I found that my greatest power is in my weakness. Because when I get out of the way and trust God, He does miraculous things in my life. See, many of us want to see God do miraculous things in our lives. But can I tell you something? In order to see a miracle, you got to need a miracle. We want to see a miracle, we just don't want to need a miracle. You hear what I'm saying to you, church? In order to see God move in a miraculous way, you got to be in a situation that requires a miraculous move of God. And it's in those moments when you're in that situation, your reaction will determine whether you see God work or not. You've got to have the faith to trust Him and give it to Him. Get out of the way. Don't try to fix it. Don't try to help. Just trust God. Because when I'm weak, He is strong. And He's promised me He's not going to leave me. He's right here with me. He's with me every step of the way. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the fiery furnace, guess what? There was a fourth man in that fire. He was walking with them. He won't always take us away from trouble. You're going to go through some hard times. But He's promised that I will be with you. I'll go before you. I'll be your flank behind you. I'll walk beside you. I'll be with you every step of the way. No matter what you go through, I will not leave you. I will not abandon you. Amen. Just trust in me. Amen. I don't know about you, but that gives me strength. That strengthens me. That gives me hope, knowing that God is with me. He has not abandoned me. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks or says. As long as I hold to His unchanging hand, He is the one that makes the difference. Amen. Let me tell you something. We need to stand. Some of us just need to stand. You know what the scripture says in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 and 14? It says, having done all, stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about the truth. Sometimes just standing is your miracle. You hear me? Sometimes just standing is your miracle. The devil's thrown everything he can throw at you to get you to walk away. He's done everything he knows to do to get you to give up on God and say, God ain't gonna do it. He's done everything he could to discourage you. Sometimes just standing on the promises of God is your miracle. And the devil said, I don't understand it. I've attacked their body. I've attacked them with been through their family. I've done everything I know to do, and they're still praising Him. Amen. I don't understand it. Sometimes just standing on the promises of God is your miracle, church. I believe the enemy was saying that when Stephen was being stoned. I don't understand it. He's being stoned and he's looking up praising God, praying for the people. I don't understand it. I believe he was saying that when Paul and Silas were in the jail in the midnight hour. They were beer bruised, beat up, and bleeding, and naked. They were going through a tough situation, and yet they began to sing praises to God. Amen. I believe the enemy was confounded. I don't think he understood what was going on. I don't understand it. I've done all I know to do to shut them up and to get them to stop talking about Jesus. And here they are praising Him in the jail. Sometimes your best miracle is just standing through the fire. You know what Proverbs 24 and 16 says? Though the righteous fall seven times, they will rise again. Though the righteous fall seven times, they will rise again. Sometimes just getting back up when the devil's knocked the breath out of you is your miracle. Got to be like Rocky. Take that licking and keep on ticking. Because greater is He that is within me than he that is within the world. I'm not can grab hold of that, God can do anything in your life. But you've got to believe that greater is He that is within you than he that is within the world. The power of God is within you if you're a child of God. Listen to me, you ain't got to run here, you ain't got to run there. You ain't got to listen to me to get it. You ain't got to listen to somebody else to get it. If you're a child of God, greater is He that is within you than He that is within the world. You better grab hold of that, church. God wants to do something in us and through us. And it's only when we let go and say, I can't, that He begins to move and say, but I can. God wants to do something in our lives. But we got to stand on His promises and trust in Him and know that God is working all things together for our good. Romans 8:28, verse 29. Let me read to you the second half of that scripture, because you need to get this to understand what I'm telling you today. It says, God says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and 29. I didn't plan to read it, so give me a minute. Let me look it up. Give me just a minute. Romans chapter 28, or Romans chapter 8, verse 28, 29. It says, and we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. For him, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, I don't want to get into predestination today. But let me just say this. Predestination is just God already knowing everything. He's already been there. It's not God manipulating your life. It's God already knowing your life. Setting things in place, because He already knows the end from the beginning. Okay? But it says, whom He did foreknow. He already knew you before you were even born. You're His child. He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. So God is working a plan. And that plan is for your good. And the purpose of that plan is this. It's not for your comfort. It's not so you say, woohoo! It's so you can be conformed to the image of His Son. The purpose of the plan of God is to conform you to the image of His Son. That's the purpose of what you go through. He's wanting to conform you to the image of His Son. Let me tell you something. While you're standing, display some joy. Display some joy. James 1 and 2. Count it all joy, brethren, when you fall into diverse temptations. Every trying time in your life is an opportunity for joy. Every test, every trial, every temptation, every battle is an opportunity for you to experience joy. You know what it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2? It says, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, He was looking past what He was fixing to go through. You say, well, He was happy about the cross. He endured the cross. That's what the scripture says. For the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, despising the shame. If you're going to endure what you're going through, you're going to have to look past the pain and the difficulty that you're facing right now. And for the joy that is set before you, you're going to have to endure. It's the joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. It's the joy. Looking past my situation to what the promises of God are that will sustain us through our problems and through our trials and through our situations. You know what Habakkuk said in chapter 3, verses 17 through 19? He said, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. And And he will make my feet like hinds feet, and he will make me to walk upon my high places. He's saying, I have decided I'm going on with Jesus.
Right.
I'm going on with God. I'm not going to let my situation determine my walk with God. Because I'm looking past my current situation to the God that I serve. And if you're going to endure, you're going to have to look past your current situation. Sometimes you need to just stand, and while you're standing, you need to have joy. You need to display joy, and you need to give God some praise. Psalm 28:7, it says, the Lord is my strength and my shield, my heart trusts in Him. He helps me, my heart leaps for joy. And with song, I praise Him. Let me tell you something. When you recognize how blessed you really are, you can praise God. When you recognize nobody in this building is malnourished. Nobody. And listen, if you make at least $32,400 a year, you're in the 1% of the world. You hear me? $32,400, you're the richest 1% of the world. That's a thought, isn't it? We think, well, I'm not rich. You're rich when you compare yourself to the rest of the world. You're blessed. You're blessed. Every day that you live, you are blessed. And you know what? When you recognize how blessed you really are, it's not so hard to praise Him. When you think of everything He's done in your life, when you think about who He is and the promises He's given you and where He's brought you from, it don't matter what song is played, don't matter where you are, you can praise the Lord. Let me tell you something. My grandmother, she got filled with the Holy Ghost. Or actually, my great-grandmother got filled with the Holy Ghost. They were Baptists. And I'm not knocking Baptists, but they were Baptists. She snuck off to one of those Pentecostal revivals, those tent meetings, and she got filled with the Holy Ghost. And she would be in the kitchen cooking biscuits, and she'd slam that door, and she'd say, praise God. She'd be cooking, and she'd be rattling those pans. She said, well, glory to God. He's so good. And they went to Atlanta. My grandfather said they got off the trolley there, and my great-grandfather looked at my great-grandmother, and he said, well, you love to praise the Lord so much. You in there in the kitchen, I hear you going at it. We're in the downtown Atlanta. Won't you praise Him right here, right now? She said, well, glory to God. He's so good. He said, shh, shh. Tell you something. When you recognize the God that you serve, you ain't got to have nothing to praise Him. You can praise Him for who He is and what He's done. He's that good. Praise has nothing to do with your surroundings. Worship has nothing to do with your surroundings. It has everything to do with the God that you serve and the Spirit that is within you. That's why Paul and Silas could praise God in the midnight hour. Their surroundings were not good. They didn't have a good situation. They weren't in air-conditioned padded seats. They didn't have a good praise band and praise singers. What they had was faith in an almighty God and the promises He had made to them. And they trusted Him with everything. And they said, I'm going to give it to You, Lord. I trust You. Tell you something. If you could just give God praise, He can do what we can't do, church. Tell you something. We're not living our lives to impress people. We're living our lives to minister the gospel. If we're not real careful, church can become entertainment. Where we leave saying, that sounded real good, I enjoyed that, but there's no change in our life. Where we leave, we say, woohoo, that felt good, but there's no change. God wants to do something in us and through us that revolutionizes our life. That when the world says, huh, boy, those people over there, they done turned Nicholson upside down. And oh, no, now they're coming over here to Bates County. Get them out. God's wanting some people to turn their communities, let me say, dare I say, right side up for Jesus. He of our trouble and our difficulties and our trials, to get our minds off of everything else and stop grumbling and complaining and start being grateful for what God has done. Listen, there are some people that are so negative if they walked into a dark room, they develop. Listen to me. God didn't call us to be fruit inspectors. He called us to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ and to trust Him in our lives. God wants to do amazing things in us and through us, but we got to trust Him. Get our minds and our eyes off of everything else and just do what He told us to do. Get out of the way and trust Him with the results. He wants to do something in our lives. I'm getting ready to close. Psalm 119 and 71. You know what it says? It says, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." Wow. The psalmist said, "It's good that I've been afflicted." How many of us can say that? Boy, it's been good. Paul said, "I glory in my infirmities. Because when I'm weak, He's strong. I recognize that the power of God rests not in my ability, not in my knowledge, not in my intellect, but in the fact that I realize I'm totally and utterly dependent upon Him. It is Him that makes the difference, not me." Listen, many people think, well, pastors, preachers, ministers don't have problems. Let me tell you something. They have problems too. They have difficulties too. They face tribulations too. Some of it's because of bad decisions, and I've had my share of them. But we all face them. We all go through them. And I was going through one a long time ago. And the Lord ministered this song to me. And I'd play the song over and over and over again. And I would just cry. Because it spoke to me. But I don't know if many of you know Stephen Curtis Chapp. But he wrote a song. And it's called "His Strength is Perfect." And in that song he says these words. He says, "We can only know the power that He holds when we truly see how deep our weakness goes. His strength in us begins when ours comes to an end. He hears our humble cry and proves again His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we can't carry on. Raised in His power, the weak become strong. His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect." And the amazing thing about that song, I would just listen to that song and I would just cry. It was a difficult time in my life. And God would minister to me in that moment and say, "You don't have to have it together. I never meant for you to be able to do it yourself. This is not Home Depot. I never meant for you to be able to fix your own life and to handle your own problems. I created you to lean into me so that when you are weak, I can be strong in your life." And the amazing thing about that song is that Stephen Curtis wrote that song, and many years later, his son backed over his daughter and killed her. And so the song that he written ministered to him too. And I want you to understand something. I don't know where you are today, but I know I felt this message. God laid it on my heart and pressed it strong. I told you before I meant to do something on the family. But I want you to understand something. If you don't hear anything else I say, hear this. Be strong and courageous. It's not by your strength that you're going to win this battle you're in. It's by your inner strength. It's the God in you. You can't, but He can. Greater is He that is within you than he that is within the world. They said, "Where's the kingdom of God?" He said, "There." He said, "Jesus said the kingdom's within you. It's within you. I've given you everything you need as my child. You have access to everything. If you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, you can be filled today. You have access to everything. Greater is He that is within you than he that is within the world." You're not going to do this on your own.